Good morning to you all, and thank you, Peter and Virgil, for that good start this morning. I've got a question for you this morning. How many of you have ever run a race? Can I see your hands? You ever run a race? Okay. How many of you have run a 5K race? I see your hands. Okay, so we have a few here that have run a 5K. Anybody run a marathon or a half marathon? Okay, one here. I've never done that. I'm not a runner. The title for this morning is Run with Patience. Give me just a minute, I'll be right. Now, I am in a race, and I need a coach. What do I need to do first to run my race? Can somebody tell me what I should start with? Get rid of my baggage. Okay, I'll be happy to do that. You're saying this isn't how you run a race. Okay. Well, but I need my stuff. How am I going to get along without my stuff?
Tell somebody where you're going and send it with them.
That's an idea. You know, we know in a physical race, you don't show up with two suitcases and a heavy backpack. Like, if somebody showed up to the starting line of a race like that, what would the crowd do? What would people think of that person that didn't know enough to get rid of the stuff before he got to the starting line? The only difference is, in the race of life, we accumulate stuff before we even know we're in a race. Does that make sense? Like, so we come, like Virgil said, like that blank sheet of paper. But by the time we realize very much about life, we've accumulated some baggage. We've developed some habits. We've picked up some things along the way that aren't really helpful for us. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because we don't really realize we're in a race until, you know, maybe 12 to 18 years after we come as that blank sheet of paper. And that's quite a bit of time to start accumulating things. I'm talking mostly about not physical stuff, things, but we develop attitudes, we develop habits. Those things in our lives that are part of who we are, it's part of living. We will develop those things, and we don't really realize what they are when we are younger, which is why we need our parents to help us get the right things in, so we're ready to race. As Marvin pointed out a couple times, that prenatal care, if you want to call it that, so that when we are born again, we are ready to take off in the race. A race really is a fitting comparison to life, but it's not a 100-yard dash. The race of life is not about one good sprint and you've made it. You either win or you lose and it's over. It's about running a marathon. And the fact is that time is against us in the race of life, because we only have a little bit of time. I'm probably at least halfway. If I live a long time, I'm at least halfway through my life already. That's if I live to be 90. And that's a long time. I'm not really hoping to live that long. But if God wants me to, I want to be faithful. We don't get to decide how much time we have. My dad died 3 years older than me. That's not much time left if I compare my life to that. What have I done with that little bit of time? With my race? Have I run well or have I not run well? What does it mean to run with patience? Those of you that have run races, I've never run anything more than a short race in school. I'm not a runner. But Hebrews tells us in chapter 12, this comes after what we call the faith chapter, where it has all the list of people that were faithful in the Old Testament. Then he says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Verse 4 says, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." And it goes on there to talk about the way God deals with sons. But he says, because we are surrounded by this cloud of witnesses. Now, there's different thoughts, okay? I'm not going to get into whether the people that have gone on before can see us here. I'm not going to get into all of that. The point is that there are people who were faithful all through history. That's the cloud of witnesses he's talking about. And it's a great cloud of witnesses. Read the Martyr's Mirror. Read the faith chapter. Read the Old Testament. The cloud of witnesses is huge. There are hundreds, maybe thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people who have run their race well. And Paul is saying here in Hebrews, because there's other people that have done it, you also run with patience. The word run means exactly that. To run or walk hastily with a purpose. But who runs with patience? Doesn't patience mean just sitting around? Just waiting? If you're running with patience, what does that look like? Have you ever run a race with patience? I'm going to pick on Peter just a little bit. He told me a little bit about when he ran his half marathon. Is that okay? Patience means cheerful endurance. Now, not just endurance, but cheerful endurance. Peter told me several months ago when we were together that when he was running, he hit the wall. Have you ever heard that term, hitting the wall when you're running? He could not go any more. Physically, mentally, he had just ran slap up against, and it wouldn't go anymore. Do you ever feel that way in life? Have you ever felt like you were just against the wall. You could not go any further. You had given everything you had, and you were done. You were just plain done. Right here and right now, I'm finished. Not even close to the end of the race, but I am finished. What do you do? What do you do when you hit the wall and you're not at the finish line? Do you just quit? You can, in a physical race, you can just quit. That's fine. There's not really any consequences other than the embarrassment of not finishing the race. But in the race of life, to quit in the middle of the race is a tragedy. Because it has eternal consequences. We can't just quit, brothers and sisters. We can't. We cannot afford to quit when we hit the wall. When it feels like, I can't go on anymore, Lord. I just don't have any more to give. So what do? As I think about us as families, we are in a race against time. Us as parents are in a race against time. We only have I know, for you children, it seems like you're never going to grow up. For us as parents, some of us are realizing you are growing up extremely fast. And we are running out of time to help you get ready for the race of life. The problem is, we as parents are still learning how to run. And we're trying to teach you how to run. And we don't even always know how to run well ourselves. But we are called to run with patience, with cheerful endurance. How do we do that? I've never run a marathon, so I thought, well, I'm going to read about how to get ready to run one a little bit. So I just Googled it, how to run a marathon, and started reading about it. I didn't read nearly everything there is to read. But one of the things that caught my attention, when it was talking about training to run a marathon, it says that one of the best ways to ensure consistency with your training and to keep the pursuit fun is to share the journey with others. That's what Paul says here. He says, see, you've got a crowd of witnesses around you. They're watching you. They're saying, I did it. Not, you can't hear it, right? But you can read it. They're saying, I did it. You can too. So that's part of what we're doing here this week, is we are sharing the journey with each other to encourage each other on. To say, let's keep running, brothers and sisters. Let's not quit. Wherever you are in your race, some of us are farther down the course than others, but we're all on the race. Because see, the thing is, we don't get to choose the course. We're given a course to run. When we come to this world, God puts us on a course. The only choice, we have two choices in this race of life. The first thing is that we can choose to run or not run. That's the choice. Those are the two choices that we have. We can't choose whether we're put on a course or not. We can just choose whether we're going to run or not. There's a thing called runner's high. Have any of you runners experienced that? You ever got a runner's high? Like I said, I'm not a runner. I don't know what that's like. But they say that if you run, if you're running, all of a sudden you will just start to feel buoyant and exuberant, and it's kind of like taking drugs because it releases endorphins in your brain and you just feel good. I guess I've not run enough. I usually just feel bad after I get done running. But it is a real thing called runner's high that people experience when they run. It, because of what it does to your body, if you're in good enough physical condition, it releases those pleasurable endorphins. You know, that's the way it is in the Christian life. The more we run with patience what God has called us to do, the more joy comes into our life. We can experience runner's high in the race of life that God has called us to. There is joy to be found as we run with God. I know a little bit about that. Not as much as I wish I did, but a little bit. The joy, it says in Nehemiah, which is a strange place for this to be, but it says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So when you're running and you hit the wall, where do you turn? There is only one place to turn, and that is to the Lord in faith. First Corinthians chapter 9. So there's several places in the New Testament that it talks about running a race. Hebrews is one of them. 1 Corinthians 9 is another one. Chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So Paul is saying here, in a physical race, everybody starts, but only one person gets the prize, or maybe three. They have first, second, and third prizes. But in the race of life, everyone who finishes faithfully gets the prize. There is a prize for everyone who finishes faithfully. How that looks for those who get farther down the course than I do, I don't know how that all is. It does seem like there are greater and lesser rewards according to some of Jesus' parables. I'm not here to discuss that part. What I'm saying is if we finish in faith, there is a prize. But the greatest prize of all is to hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That will be enough to make it worthwhile. Whatever it is in life, if we are faithful, when Jesus says to us, "Well done," that'll take care of all of the other problems that we ever experienced in life. It's easy to forget that's enough. To hear him say that will be enough, but it will be. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul tells Timothy He's talking about racing again, or kind of that idea. He says in verse 5, "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." So you don't get the prize if you don't play by the rules. We know that, right? He says in Corinthians that he runs his race not uncertainly. He's not trying to figure out, do I go this way or do I go that way? But he's running straight down the course. And then he says to Timothy, if you don't play by the rules, you're not going to get it. How many times do we hear that about that today? People trying to win, but they're not playing fair. They might even win the race, and then it's found out months later that they were cheating. And they get stripped of their title and embarrassed internationally because they cheated. How much greater will the embarrassment be, if you want to call it that, at the end of life, when God says, no, I never knew you. You weren't playing by my rules. You didn't play fair. You weren't on my course. It can happen. Jesus said there'll be people that thought they were running for him. And he said, I don't know you. To run our race with patience, we have to follow the rule book. We have to know how does God want me to run? Sometimes we find we've quit running. Sometimes we don't know how to get started. How do we run? I've heard that the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. You can't start running if you aren't running. Like, you won't get there if you don't start. So, I have to choose to do things differently or I will get nowhere. I've heard that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. You ever find yourself doing that? I do sometimes. I'm still doing what I've always done, but I think that somehow it will go differently this time than it did the other time. That doesn't work that way. If we want to run, if we want to learn to run, we have to start running. Like here, when I hear of better ways to do relationships in my family, like I have the last few days, what am I going to do with that? Am I going to go home and say, yeah, it would be better if I would do differently in this area, but I don't know really how, and it's a lot of work, and maybe if we just keep plugging away, things will get better. That's not the way it works. I have to be willing to make changes. If I was going to learn to run a marathon, one of the things I read is that it's best, if you're going to go from a couch to a marathon, to take at least a year of training before you start the 12 to 20 week training program to run a marathon. You don't start with running 10 miles. I'm going to get off the couch and run 10 miles tomorrow. Okay, y'all can hold me accountable. I'll run 10 miles tomorrow, and the next week I'll run 20, and by the third week I can run a marathon. It doesn't work that way. You start slowly. So it is in our Christian life. There are times when we make great strides, and God can change us in big ways, but often it starts incrementally. Remember my suitcases and my backpack? Those weights that are dragging us down and keeping us from running, they are hard to get rid of. I can just peel the straps on a backpack and drop it off physically. But the baggage that I've accumulated in my life doesn't go away that easy. I do it one little bit at a time. The way to start running a marathon is to go out and do a little bit tomorrow, and a little bit the next day, and a little bit the next day. I want to read you something that Frank Reed, some of you may know him. This is the way he put it. How to live a righteous life. To do right is to be righteous. How can we do that? Number one, do what is right for the next 15 seconds. Then, number two, do what is right for the next 15 seconds. Then, number three, do not do anything that would displease God for the next 15 seconds. Then, number four, do not do anything that would displease God for the next 15 seconds. You have lived a righteous life for 1 minute. Do that every day for the rest of your life. It really is that simple. Really? I have a lot of respect for Frank. He's a wise man, has a lot more experience than I do. And I am pondering that. As I think about running a marathon, it's about running it for the next 15 seconds. And then the next 15 seconds, and then the next 15 seconds. And that is how people run marathons. They break it down into a chunk that they know they can run. And they run that chunk. And then they run the next chunk. And then they run the next chunk. They don't think about running 26.2 miles when they leave the starting line. They think about running maybe a 3K that they know they can easily run. And they take off and they run a 3K. And then they think about running the next 3K. I've had to do that at times when I've been traveling and I'm fighting sleep. And I don't know if I can keep going anymore, but I'm determined I'm not stopping to sleep. And I'm driving down the interstate and my eyes will hardly stay open. And so, you know those little signs on the side of the interstate that show every tenth of a mile? Sometimes a tenth of a mile is an eternity long. When it's all you can do to keep your eyes open to get from one sign to the next sign. And it's like, did I just go a tenth of a mile? Is that all I went? That's sometimes how it feels in life. We're like, I don't know if I can go anymore. But there's the next marker. I'll make it to that one for sure. And we get to the next one and we go to the next one. And that's my encouragement for us this morning. When you've got a bag that you can't get rid of, don't try to dump the whole thing at one time. Just get one piece out of it and get rid of it. And keep on running. It says there's weights and sins that beset us. I don't know what yours are. I know what some of mine are. That I need to work on getting rid of a little piece at a time. We're not going to get rid of them. Just lock, stock, and barrel. Just push them off to the side. It doesn't work that way in life. We get rid of them a piece at a time. We run for the next 15 seconds. Faithfully. And we run for the next 15 seconds. That's my challenge for us this morning. As we go from here, it's been a good time. Let's not waste it. Let's use it to spur us on in the race of life. Let's take the things that we've learned and heard, the encouragement that has come from the fellowship with each other, and let's go home and run. Because that's really where it matters. You know the saying, where the rubber meets the road? When your shoes hit the pavement, when you start pounding the pavement, as the runners say, I'm going to go out and pound the pavement. They do. Real runners pound a lot of pavement. And then they make a race look easy. It's about practice, brothers and sisters. Practice and practice and practice as you're running the race of life. Don't ever, ever give up. When you hit the wall, go the next 15 seconds. God will give you the grace for the next 15 seconds. He won't give it to you for the next 15 seconds until you use it right now. But He will give it to you when you use what you need now. He'll give it to you next. Remember that. God will be with us